Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora koutou, welcome to this edition of Red Alert. My name's Christine O'Brien. I'm from the Māngere Otahu Local Board and I'll be your host for this session. Today we're talking water, which is a hugely important topic. I'm delighted that we have a real local champion with us today, Carol Elliott. Carol is a member of the Māngere Otahu Local Board and she's done an amazing job since inception, since 2010, in helping to build up the work of the local board, and she's a particular expert in infrastructure and environment and a real gun on water. She represents an area that has got two harbours, it has a wastewater treatment plant, it has numerous streams and issues with the streams, it has heavy industry, it has light industry, it has some farms, and it has an airport. So we have someone who's worked with all this for the last 10 years, and I'm delighted to introduce her to you. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Excellent. And I just want to acknowledge also, Carol, that you have done such a tremendous job, and understand that you're moving on to other things at the end of this term. So I just really did want to say thank you so much for your dedication and passion and all of the hard yards you've put in. And I know some of them have been very hard over the last 10 years.
Thank you. I just hope that somebody new that comes onto the local board will pick this up and continue it, because it's a work in progress. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Absolutely. So perhaps we should start with the Manukau Harbour, because taking that as our lens, a lot of the issues that we have with water, its importance to keep drinking water clean, to keep the environment clean, to deal properly with our wastewater and with our stormwater, can be reflected in the Manukau Harbour. And there is a forum, a Manukau Harbour Forum, tackling that particular work, and I understand that you were a founding member of that body.
Yes, at the very beginning of the super city, when the local board members were meeting in town, Jill Naismith from Waiuku, the Waiuku branch of the Franklin local board, and I got together, and we both said the same thing. Why don't we have all the local boards which border the harbour get together to see what we can do, to lobby, to think and to study about it? And that is where it started from. The forum is not an established committee by right by the council. It is at the beginning of each three-year term, the governing body members meet and decide whether it will continue or not.
So living from term to term with no certainty at this point.
That's correct, yes.
So what would be, what would it need to have that established with a bit more stability?
For an ongoing future where we don't have to sit around and wait until that decision has been made at the beginning of each term. If we were an established committee, because as you know, the council is made up of various committees that meet to sub these special things, this finance, this environment, things like this. If the forum was an established committee, it would be automatic. Mm. And the only thing that would have to be established at the beginning of each three-year term is who the delegates would be from each of the nine local boards.
Mm. So which local boards are involved in this work?
Now, you start off with Waitakere and you come sweeping around the harbour. There's Fou, there's Pukitapapa, there's Māngikiki Tamaki, there's Otara Papatoe, a little bit, there's Māngere, we have a lot of it, of course, there's Manurewa, and there's Papakura, and there's Franklin.
So that's a huge extent of central and south.
Yes.
And right, stretching right out to the west, in fact, of Auckland.
Yes. Yeah. And what I think helps is the fact that it's all on one harbour and it's one authority for the one harbour. Mm. You get up to the Kaipara, you have everybody wanting to put in their sixpence with.
And it's very difficult to make progress in a scenario like that, isn't it? So what's the focus of the forum's work?
We are here, vision is to restore, maintain and improve the health of the Manukau Harbour, because I have described it once as, it reminds me of an unborn child, the harbour. It is the passive recipient of what goes into it, what is poured into it, what we pour into it, whether it be from the freshwater streams, road runoff, that is a real polluter, illegal connections, and industrial waste.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting, the Water Care have done surveys over the years, many, many years, regularly, once a month, on the viral contamination, if any, of the shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
And they've stopped doing it because it's negative. But, for example, at Mangere Bridge, the contamination there is from copper and chrome.
So it's industrial.
It's industrial, runoff from the roads and from industrial.
Yeah.
So because the water that flows out twice a day from when the tide is going out from Water Care, their treated water, is cleaner that goes into the harbour, cleaner than our stormwater.
Good heavens, that's extraordinary.
Yes.
So you're referring there to the wastewater, to the waste treatment plant at Mangere?
Yeah, Water Care runs the waste treatment plant at Mangere, and the waste comes in and it's dewatered and there's all sorts of biological and fancy treatments, and I'm not a chemist so I can't explain it, but I know it goes from A to B to C to D,
yeah,
and then into a very long, nice canal, and then twice a day at the outgoing tide that is released into the harbour. And that water is cleaner than the storm water that goes into the harbour.
The storm water that comes through, yes.
Mm.
And I believe that the contamination, the current sort of contaminants from industry are compounded by the historical railway yards and freezing works at the top of the harbour there, and the sediment underneath is also quite badly.
Well, yes, the Mangere Inlet, a lot of people say that is from the Mangere Bridge right down over to Otahu. That's called the Mangere Inlet.
Mm.
And that used to be, legally, where the three freezing works and the wool scouring and the railway workshops used to drain their waste. Sometimes, at very low tide, that inlet was red.
Goodness.
From the, you know, the raw waste from the freezing works, and the smell was dreadful. They think since it's been stopped, there's about 6 inches of nice, clean sediment and a feet, metres of contaminated mud. So you wouldn't want to dredge it.
Yeah, which would have to be dealt with at some stage, but yes.
Yeah.
So what are the priorities currently for the forum?
Well, we would, again, like to be established as a permanent committee within the body of the Auckland Council. We would like to have a symposium. We have had two in the past, on matters environment pertaining to the harbour, probably every second year.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have flagship events. We have chosen industries that are doing the right thing. Now, we've had two that I can tell you. Main Freight is one, and Villa Maria is the other. You know, that's very much in our patch.
Yes.
It's a very large industrial and agricultural. They grow their grapes, they make the wine, and they sell it. So they were the hosts, and they invited all the industries surrounding them to come and have a day to see what they do with their waste and how they maintain a sustainability level of progress. So that is the sort of things that we go. We also advocate very, very strongly. We advocated as a group in the last term to the council for a hydrodynamic modelling survey because Water Care has been sampling the water, but we wanted to see what was happening to the sediment, to see if that sediment, for example, from Mangere Bridge, where it ended up and what it affected. So that is just about ready to complete. Water Care is looking after the water side of it, and Healthy Waters is supposed to be doing the sediment. I think they might have started.
So Healthy Waters is
Healthy Waters is the old stormwater department.
Yes.
They renamed themselves. I'm sorry, I should have explained that.
No, that's absolutely fine. No, we're having a great conversation here, but I'm just aware that some of the listeners may not know
the
jargon.
It's very in language, isn't it? Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic, and you managed to get that modelling sponsored, I think. You attracted some excellent funding for that project. Well done.
Well, it cost over $400,000, but we went along to a finance committee meeting, and every local board that made up members from the forum went, and we all said the same thing. So by the time the last local board made its presentation to the governing body, one of the councillors said, I don't want to hear another word about the hydrodynamic modelling.
Give them some money.
Yes. So then we were having a symposium, and Water Care stood up and said they would do it. Mm. And then Craig McElroy, who was the leader of the Healthy Waters team, stood up and said he would work in cooperation with it.
Excellent.
Yes.
So that is a good example of the so-called wider council family of yes. CCOs and in-house yes. operations coming together and doing something for the good of the environment yes. right there.
Yep. And it's advocacy. We mm. have no statutory powers. Mm. We have got to convince with logic and sweet reason.
In science. So have we seen any improvements? Just putting to the side for the moment that the modelling's not completely finished, you did say that some of the testing has been, of the shellfish, for example, mm. has been negative for quite some time. Mm. And I do notice that the little council app that you can check before you go swimming anywhere in Auckland never seems to have any more flags around any of our beaches. For example, they tend to be to the west and north beaches mm. that are having issues. So have we seen a serious improvement, do you think?
I wouldn't say it's a serious improvement. Mm. It is an improvement because so many of those beaches, you would not have let your children go swimming and put their head under the water. Mm, mm. But they are getting better. And especially as you move out, Clark's Beach used to be a no-no area. Now, you can swim there safely. And it's beautiful beach, mm. absolutely beautiful. Waiuku, being at the end of the estuary, often has problems, the same as the Mangere Inlet. Mm. So the Safe Swim is a promotion from Healthy Waters where people can find out the day they want to go swimming mm. whether that is a safe place or not.
Mm, mm, mm. Mm. Excellent. And so just moving back perhaps to wastewater, so you've mentioned that we do have the three waters and obviously safe drinking water is a major issue, but how we deal with our so-called wastewater is a major issue, and we do have water care and the treatment plant, the sewage, mm. the old lingo, sewage treatment plant in mm. Mangere. It's an area with enormous population explosion coming, a lot of building going on and intensification, plus they're taking material from all across Auckland. So how are they doing?
Well, what they're trying to do is stop in the older areas of Auckland where every time you have a heavy rain, and with the climate change we're getting yes. downpours, absolute heavens are yeah. opening, where you're having sewage and running in, fortunately, into streams, freshwater streams. So they have this plan, it's called the Central Interceptor, and it is just a great big enormous pipe. And it is to pipe everything to the sewage treatment plant, because when there is a heavy rainfall and downpour like that, that can affect the efficiency of the wastewater plant. You find your nitrogen levels and things go up because there's too much water for the plant to cope with. So what the pipe is going to do is store that excess until everything settles down and it can keep going through at the same rate. At the same time, because of the population explosion, water care, is diverting their wastewater from the west to North Shore. So people say, oh, 2.4 million, but it's not 2.4 million coming through because their water care are making allowances for the future where there's going to be houses and a little city the size of Hamilton in South Auckland, and that will be coming through the Mangere plant.
Yes.
So they're going to divert all of West Auckland's over to Rosedale plant.
Yes, and I mean, that's going ahead in leaps and bounds. Yes. I happened to do a tour of a number of those developments in South Auckland only last week, and it's just extraordinary. Mm. How many houses will be there and the infrastructure that's going in to support those houses.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Clark's Beach is getting a real update, and there's big 30-year plans ahead, and they're looking at Waiuku, Clark's Beach and all those because at the moment it's just a great big pipe.
Yeah, and out across Drury and so forth as well.
Yes.
Yeah, around the back of Papakura. Absolutely. So I guess that sort of brings us, in a sense, to the Three Waters Review, which people may well have heard quite a lot about last year. It started, I think, in response to the contamination of drinking water in Havelock North, where about 5,000 people got dreadfully sick, and several people may have died of allied sort of consequences. So the central government's brought together all of their government departments with relevant interests and talking to local bodies about how to manage water for quality and then how to manage the stormwater and the wastewater so that the impact on the environment is lessened, but that it's all done in a cost-effective manner, which is obviously a huge task. And I believe they started to report back towards the end of last year, and you've been lucky enough to attend some of the local government New Zealand meetings which have discussed the council's response and the thinking about where this major issue's got to. So do you want to perhaps fill us in a little bit on all of that huge topic?
Well, each local authority, however big they are, Auckland, of course, is the biggest, right down to some of the little tiny provincial district councils, which have a total population of about 16,000 people, they are constrained by law to provide fresh water for the constituents in their area, as well as the wastewater at the other end. And there was a discussion at the Local Government New Zealand Conference last year in Christchurch, where we first got the response, a very measured response from local government New Zealand to some of the proposals, because there is a key statement on the views that the key to the reform is that however services are provided in the future, drinking and wastewater services should be treated as a single network. Now, the problem there is some of the tiny little local authorities just cannot do it. They haven't got the money to do it. They haven't got the ratepayer. They haven't got the infrastructure. So if some of the suggestions of central government are implemented, the ratepayers in Auckland could well end up paying for and providing fresh water for tiny little provincial councils all around the North Island. And that is a bit of a worry.
It's an extreme worry. I mean, we're already very budget constrained ourselves and we have an awful lot to do. So where have these discussions got to, do you know?
No, we're still, the government has of course been asking for responses and the council has been asking for responses. And we know what the local government, New Zealand's stance is, and that's the one I am really familiar with, which is just a taho. Let's keep the status quo while we really investigate. There must be some other ways to solve this problem. Now, as you have seen with the recent bushfires, the climate change, water is going to be a problem. There is a story around, some people believe, that the next world war will be over fresh water.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
People wanting fresh, and we have plenty of it.
Yes.
But what we need to do is how it gets to individuals in an equitable manner. What, you know, this, what we're asking for is clean, fresh, potable, that's drinkable water, safe disposal of our waste, and also no more contamination by stormwater. Now, that is somewhere where we really could work. It's three waters, not just the drinking and the waste. It's drinking water, stormwater, and wastewater.
And then, of course, we have both farming and industry needs as well, which are quite water-dependent in some regards, but a massive concerns perhaps about the quantities that are used, the way that it's used, and then what, as you say, comes out the other end, how that's managed so that it's a good balance for the environment.
It's very sad that what is happening actually in Canterbury, you had a responsible regional committee there which was looking after and allocating water rights, and because individual farmers weren't getting what they wanted, they lobbied the then national government and they got sacked. And part of that is they have been issuing water rights willy-nilly. They are draining those beautiful braided rivers. They are ruining the lifestyle for our, some of our endangered birds. They are encouraging a type of farming which should not be on those gravelly plains.
In the first
place. Fine in the Waikato, but not in those gravelly plains. And so you're getting nitrates coming through from the urine. It's going into the soil and it's turning up in the water. And it's too much. It's too intensive. And intensive farming has a lot to answer for. And if you're looking at something from an environmental point of view, you're going to have to pull back. But that's a central government thing with the assistance of local authority.
Absolutely. So what do you think the the impact, if anything, is going to be? I mean, do you have a sense of how this is going? Do you think that the big word, the buzzword is aggregation, isn't it? Which is putting everything in one pot, and which means that's what would mean potentially that Auckland could end up paying for a lot of little places that don't have the rate space, for example, to provide for themselves.
Well, I'm not an engineer and I'm not a scientist.
Join the club.
Got it? But I would see that somewhere like Watercare, because Watercare is also responsible for providing us with our drinking water, but we could be there for advice and a bit of assistance that way, technically. But I really don't think that, even though it might be efficient, that it should happen. You know, they privatised water in England, and it was an absolute disaster. Number one, the certain things should remain in the public domain, and they are life-threatening things. And when we're sick, hospitals and healthcare, that should not be totally privatised. Good fresh drinking water, safe disposal, looking after our harbours. Our local board, as in one of its plans, you know, has a place in its plan where people thrive. Well, that's what you want to do, an environment where people can thrive. And in a polluted environment where you can't drink the water or you can't walk outside without a mask on is not somewhere where people can thrive.
No, that's not a healthy community in any sense of the word whatsoever. Absolutely. So what do you think... What's been your experience of the council's response to date? Do you think everybody is on the same page? Is there still a lot of internal discussion going on? I don't want to put you on the spot. If you can say that you don't want to comment.
No, it's all right, because I'm not standing. Some of the governing body members don't seem to realise that once you are elected, even though you are elected in a ward system, you are there to represent Auckland as a whole. Some of them don't do their homework, and they don't know what you're talking about half the time. And it's very disappointing, some of the responses we get from an environmental point of view, when the different groups, whether it's the forum or the local board, or this group or that group, go in, and the responses they get from some people.
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? I think it's been interesting to me, and this is a whole other conversation which we can't really get into, but that we spent two terms sort of building this co-governance structure, and in this immediate term now, the current term, it seems to be disestablishing and fraying around the edges to some degree.
What we are getting, because I was a reluctant joiner of the super city. I was a happy ratepayer in the Manukau city, which I felt, with the population of 360,000+, we had the critical mass to be efficient. We had a wonderful culture. Now that culture, the Manukau culture, I feel, is finally being eroded. They're reorganising, they spend so much time reorganising and restructuring that they haven't got time to get on with what they're doing. And a lot of the members seem to think, the governing body members get confused between governance and governing.
And
we
management.
Are there for policy. They are there for policy. That's the philosophy. But then it is up to the CEO to make sure that that policy or those policies are implemented. Or
carried out.
Yes.
Well, as I say, discussion for another time, but just fascinating on where Auckland's going and how it's getting there. Carol, I'm afraid we don't have too much more time, but I just want to, at this point, say thank you before I give some notices for the local area. It's a fantastic overview and a very clear overview of the issues around water and of the work of the forum and of the amazing a large review that we're now undergoing and some of the pitfalls potentially from that review. So thank you so much for that.
I really do appreciate being able to come and talk to you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I'm just going to move on to some notices. The Mangere Ōtahu Volunteer Awards are open for nominations until the 28th of February. So if you are living in the area or you know of someone in the area who's doing amazing unpaid work, either as a senior or in arts, culture, sports, youth, or general community service, please nominate them. They could be a person, they could be a club, or they could be a group. You can find the form on our local board website, or you can call the office for information on 256 5133. Our local board also has two funding rounds open at the moment. So our local grants, $2,000 plus, are open now until the 22nd of March. And the sort of projects in our area that can be funded are arts, community, environment, events, heritage, sports and recreation. We've also got open at the moment our extremely large facility partnership fund. That's not to say that any one applicant would get the money on offer. There's $150,000 each year and no particular limit set on the amount granted. Every application is assessed on a case-by-case basis. So that's sort of to support perhaps sports clubs and general facilities in the community that need to do some major work for improvements but for community benefit. The other thing is that you may have noticed there's enormous quantity of events on at the moment. The area's jumping. And in just the next couple of weekends, I'll just outline some of the things that you can attend for free. You'll also find all these on our local board Facebook page and on the Auckland Council events page, except perhaps not this one, which is the Protect Ihu Mātou National Day of Action. So there will be a protest day this Friday from 9am to 12pm across the country to try and persuade or address the Fletcher building plans to build intense housing development on confiscated and archaeologically and environmentally precious land out on the coast just slightly northwest of our airport. So if you want to go there, want to join in, Protect Ihu Mātou, 810 Great South Road from 9am on Friday. Then on Saturday from 11 till 3 we have the Love Your Maunga Festival at Mangere Mountain. This is always a great day of education about the Maunga but also fantastic entertainment, and it will include Shefu and the Crates, Lavina Williams, Sol Brown, Jaya, York and many more, along with some fantastic local kapahaka groups. Then from 3 till 6 on Saturday at the Mangere Arts Centre, we've got February Dreaming, a Southside hangout. This is just another in our artists and creatives get-togethers, and it's a quick go along to the courtyard, hang out with the other creators, network, swap ideas, and there'll be people there from council talk to you about funding and networking and other ways of supporting you. So just go along and hang out and see what happens. Then the following Saturday, the 23rd, we have the fabulous annual Otahu Family Fun Day at Toia, the Toia complex where the library and swimming pool are. That's running from 10 till 2, and the kaupapa for that is that everything is free and for the community. So there will be entertainment, there'll be water, there'll be food, there'll be information, free health checks, all that sort of thing, all free for the family, and then you can run in and out of the pool as the day gets too hot for you. On the same day, Saturday the 23rd from 9 till 4, there's a South Auckland STEM Day at the Mangere Arts Centre. So this is science, technology, engineering and maths. It's running all day for kids, their families and friends. So there will be companies there doing interactive displays and running all day workshops. There'll be amazing speakers sharing their STEM journey, including South Auckland people, and there'll be giveaways, food and performances. And I have to say, I went to the last one of these and was absolutely blown away by the guest speaker, who was an ex-Macaulay girl who now is an engineer building bridges all over the world, and she was absolutely extraordinary to listen to, and I do recommend the STEM Day. All of the Saturdays in February at Te Wānanga in Mangere, the Auckland Arts Festival are running classes about learning Māori in Samoan and learning Māori in Mandarin. So there are various times different to our periods on each Saturday when you can learn Māori from Samoan or learn Māori from Mandarin. So just check the website for that. Then from the 23rd of February till the 6th of April, the amazing South Auckland Poets Collective will be running an exhibition dedicated to their first 10 years. So that's, just keep an eye on everything because there's so much going on, whānau. We encourage you to get out there and enjoy everything that your local board is funding and supporting in the community. Celebrate your community champions. And once again, thank you so much to my colleague Carol Elliott for coming to talk to us today about water, dipping a toe in the water, so to speak. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you.
get together next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.